A team of Maine builders puts our state on the small screen. We will talk with the stars of the new cable TV show, Maine Cabin Masters. Is there a camp in your family that could use a little TLC? Maybe you fantasized about buying a log cabin on a remote Maine lake and fixing it up. Or perhaps you are simply addicted to TV home renovation programs. Whichever describes you, you might be interested in the new TV show on the DIY network called Maine Cabin Masters. Members of the Morrill family and their friends fix up old Maine camps and cabins. The show's first season debuted this week. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will meet the stars of Maine Cabin Masters, learn about their approach to fixing up old gems, and what they hope the show will do for Maine. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. TV audiences are getting a peek at some of Maine's remote settings on a new show. It is called Maine Cabin Masters, and one of the first episodes aired last night on the DIY network. The show gives an insider look at historic cabins and cottages across the state that are in dire need of renovation. The stars of the show who fix up and transform the homes are with me in the studio today. Chase Morrill is a Maine builder who leads the team on Maine Cabin Masters. Ashley Eldridge is also featured on the show as the designer on the team. She's Chase's sister. Her husband, Ryan Eldridge, is Chase's building partner. He is featured in the series as well. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about what goes on behind the scenes on Maine Cabin Masters? Or maybe you have a cabin that needs renovating and you have a question. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And before we talk to our guests, we're going to start with a clip. And this is the promo for Maine Cabin Masters.
Hidden in one of America's last frontiers.
Where the hell are you taking us?
Are treasures waiting to be uncovered.
Wow, oh, there she is.
In the furthest reaches of northern Maine, Chase Morrill and his family of Mainers renovate, restore, and save these historic structures.
My name's Chase, and I'm the team leader.
Ashley's my sister. She takes care of all the design aspects. Ryan is my voice of reason.
You want to redo the roof? It's going to snow before you know it.
And then there's Lance.
What the hell are you doing out there?
If Lance wasn't good at what he does, he'd be long gone.
Lance! I'm coming, sweetheart!
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, it's awesome from up here. What do you think?
They are the Maine Cabin Masters.
Well, welcome to the three of you. And I wanted to play that promo. I've watched it probably seven times and it makes me laugh every time, especially Chase Morrill and his family of Mainers. It makes you sound like an extinct and rare species.
Oh, we are. We are. Good morning.
Hi, everybody. This is such a fun idea. You know, I've only been able to see the one program that's aired already. It sure made me want to have a cabin in the middle of a pond and a lake, but on an island in the middle of the lake. How did the idea come about? Whose big idea was this?
I guess we have to give credit to my daughter Maggie's friend's mother.
Yep.
It was somehow she got us connected with the right people, and Dorsey Entertainment from Colorado were looking for construction crews that specialize in renovation and salvage of old camps, and you know, they liked us, we liked them, and thought we'd give it a try.
So someone had heard that this production company was looking for the right team.
Yes.
And reached out and said, I know, just the team.
That's exactly right.
Were you all already doing this kind of work? Were you already specializing in camps?
Not necessarily camps.
Well, you know, in Maine, you've got to build what do what you have to do. Camps, homes, renovation, new construction.
We were all building. You know, I had a team and Chase had a team, and we had come together to do a really cool hybrid log cabin.
Yep. And I showed up. I'm like, hey, you guys want to do a TV show?
And you said, sure.
Exactly. Kind of went from there.
Okay, so it's funny, and you all
we hope it's funny.
Are clearly a cast of characters. How much do you ham it up for the camera, and how much is this is kind of how we treat each other?
That's us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We try to be as real as we possibly can.
Yeah. You know, you can't make that stuff up. You know, the chemistry between us, you can just tell that, I don't know, that is real.
What has the reaction been since the first episode? Well, I know you had a pilot episode air last year, right? But that didn't really have a lot of fanfare. But now you have a full season, and the first episode of the full season aired last night. What has the reaction been like?
Very positive.
Yeah, extremely positive. You know, I mean, we spent this past summer just working our tails off to get all these camps done. So now we're finally getting to see the results of all the hard work, which, you know, it's great. It's, you know, it's a whole unique experience that.
And you almost forget about some of them because we did so much in such a short time. We did 11 camps.
Well, that's a cool thing for me last night was watching the show and, like, reliving the whole entire, like, that camp itself and, like, remembering all the cool things that, you know, we were doing and what we really, like, loved about each, well, that camp in particular last night.
It looks as though that was shot in the middle of the summer, maybe August. You were actually swimming in the lake at one point, so I'm guessing it was not May.
No. That was... part of the
June.
Summer.
June?
June. Beginning
yeah.
Part of
oh,
summer.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, because it was cold.
So 11 days. Camps in what, how many renovations did you do in what period of time with a camera crew following you around?
So we started in middle of March.
Yeah.
And we wrapped up right around Thanksgiving. And we had 10 episodes to get done. So at times we had 3 camps going at once. The film crew would show up for the beginning, a middle section, and then for the reveal. So... you know, we'd finish 3 camps, super stressful, and then boom, start right into 3 more. So it was a very steep learning curve.
You were stressed?
It was a quick learning curve, too.
Yeah.
Was it really just your team doing 3 camps at once, or did you have people helping?
We ended up hiring on a couple extra guys to help out, and they actually were in the show last night. And then we'd actually, you know, when we were in certain areas, we'd get our friends, and they'd come in and, you know, help out and...
Right, so you weren't being sneaky about it. You put them right on TV as well.
Oh yeah, totally.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was us. You know, it's us. It's my best friend Lance. You know, Jedi and Dixie. We all grew up together. We're from the Augusta Gardner area, so we've known each other our whole lives.
Yeah.
And we've all been Mainers for so long that we've got enough family and friends, a big enough network that we could pull from that. Say, okay, we're up in the Bar Harbor area. Cousin Robbie, who can we get helping us out on this camp? You know, and he'd be like, well, I'll help you. So, you know, he'd come in. That's what was great about it, is getting family and friends in to help, you know, seeing different parts of the state, meeting all these great camp owners.
And then we also, like, we were able to, like, get some of our friends who, like, specialize, like, say, in masonry or whatever. We would be able to get them to come in and do whatever their specialty is. So it was kind of cool to see these people that we hadn't seen in, you know, quite a while and then be able to work with them as well.
Right. On the program I saw, you had a friend sculpt an eagle's head.
Oh, yeah. Danny Burns.
Yeah.
He's a chainsaw artist. He's awesome.
So really able to sort of show off some of the skills of Maine people. I'm going to play a quick clip from the program that aired first last night. And this is near the beginning of the program when you're investigating what kind of condition a cabin that's on an island in the middle of lake is in.
So the biggest issue we have to deal with is the rot. This corner where the logs overlap has just... rotted away. You can almost...
How far down?
Right down.
And that's the inside.
That's the inside.
The camp was built in 1930, and when you get up close, it looks like it was built in 1930.
Are the logs right here any good?
Oh
my God! Jesus. He's ahead! Look!
I say no.
They're gonna all have to get taken down.
I don't know.
Did you guys realize those ones are bad too?
That's punky.
Chase.
It is punky.
What's punky mean?
Rotted. You've never been to a punky reggae party?
Oh, my goodness. So the use of the word punky is why I chose that that clip. But it kind of shows a little bit about the program. You're dealing with serious structural issues, but you managed to turn a lot of these things into an opportunity for a one-liner or some kind of joke. But I'll get serious here for a little bit. Is that sort of the most common thing you're coming across? If I am going to watch all 10 episodes, are we seeing a lot of rot?
Oh, well, yeah.
Rot's big.
Especially in Maine, you know, where the climate changes so much and, you know, they freeze and then they melt and then it freezes again, then melts and the sun hits it and the sun doesn't come out for a month and, like, yeah, a lot of rot.
But it's never the same rot.
Nope. And it's always a different challenge, but it makes it interesting, you know, like, we know what we're up against usually.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have rot along the windowsills, you'll have rot on the sills.
Yeah, but you guys find rot a lot unexpectedly. We don't usually know. It usually comes out of nowhere.
Well, that's the thing when you start a project. You know, it's uncovering stuff. The whole proverbial can of worms is, I think, bigger in this climate than in other places. You know, like, the weather presents a huge challenge, whether it's the weather at the moment or the weather over the past 30 years, you know, or since 1930.
Folks, after seeing this show, are going to want to sign up because there's some really nice transformations. How does it work? You mentioned a $30,000 budget for this first cabin. Does the homeowner come up with that? Is it a combination of DIY network and the homeowner? What would you say to anyone out there who says, I want you guys to work on my camp?
I'd say come with a big budget. But, you know, we worked with, you know, our ultimate responsibility is to the homeowner. You know, it's their camp. They come up with the majority of the budget, and the production company puts money towards it. You know, we try and find ways using salvaged materials, you know, materials we've stockpiled to keep the budget down, you know.
And also there's people on the production side of things who are contacting, you know, window companies, lumber companies, and things like that to get, like, the stuff at a discounted rate. And that just because then they'll get promoted through the show, or just a trade out in general. So that assists in keeping the costs down.
One of the things I liked about the program is how you all used, like you said, some salvaged goods. You got solar panels in this one from somebody else's camp. I assume you got those, you know, with permission. But, you got solar panels that someone else wasn't using anymore. And I do think that that reflects how a lot of Maine people live their lives. And if they're lucky enough to have a camp, how they treat their camps. So I was wondering if that was sort of a conscious choice when you put the show together, that we are going to do this the way the people we know would do it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just how we build. You know, what they didn't show, the windows that we brought in, the doors we brought in were all salvaged. You know, we tried to, you know, it was on an island. We tried to use as much of the materials that were on the island. And when we have to buy materials, we like to buy local materials. You know, I mean, Maine's a forested state. We try and use as much Maine pine, you know, Maine wood as possible. So, and I think you're exactly right. That appeals to most people from Maine. So,
Chase is also pretty good at finding the bargain bins at Martin's or Hammond's. You know, every manufacturer has seconds and extras and stuff. And these guys are perfect at finding good deals on stuff and reusing stuff.
We were taught well.
Don't let them kid you. They grew up that way.
And it's a good thing.
It's ingrained in their culture, which is good.
So you two are siblings. Are there any other siblings that are only you two?
Just us. A lot of cousins.
Okay, and I saw you incorporated mom in the issue in the episode we saw last night. Are your mom and dad just getting a huge kick out of this?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Our father passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A couple years ago. And so you'll see in the coming up episodes, there's a lot of him in it. There's a lot of, it will play itself out. And then Chase's kids are in a lot of the episodes. Yeah. My dog makes a couple appearances. It's very family oriented, and that's what we love about it. You know, if the kids stop by the job site and the film crew are there or whatever, then they're just being the show, you know, rather than.
Yeah, they get to hang out.
Yeah.
They come, you know, because we're working on these camps in the middle of summertime, so beautiful locations. Come out, go swimming with us for an afternoon, and we all, you know, stop what we're doing, jump in the water. Like I said, we're all family, we're all friends, we love what we're doing, and I think, yeah.
Free labor, too, with the kids.
Back to a question, though, about how people can contact us if they do have a camp that they're interested in us checking out or whatever. They need to go to?
Is it the website, probably?
Websites, you know, social media, I think.
Facebook page is a good spot.
MaineCabinMasters.com.
and they've
has
been
a link now.
And what are you looking for? I mean, are you looking for a certain kind of cabin or camp? I love that it's called Cabin Masters, and I know why you did that, because people outside of Maine wouldn't know if you called it Maine Camp Masters,
right,
what
you're
talking about.
Every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if someone, are you looking for a certain kind of camp? Are you looking for something with a story behind it? Are you looking for owners who are just as big a characters as you guys are? All of the above?
All that helps, you know. And it's funny what a second camp home or to a cabin to a Mainer is different from someone from away. So we did a couple cabins that were pretty darn first homes for some people, but you know, to some people, their second home. So us, it was a cabin, you know. So it's a whole realm of different, possibilities.
And yeah. they'll check out any of the camps that people send. You know, they're really good at contacting and getting back in touch with people that are interested.
Do you all build through the winter? Are you building right now, or? You on a publicity tour.
No, we're building.
I'm bartending.
Which is its own publicity tour.
So what I'm wondering and why I asked, started asking you all about being siblings is, you know, Chase, you're sketching out designs on a pad for your clients, and Ashley, you're doing the interior decorating. There's a little scene when you're sewing with your mom. Were you guys raised to be sort of creative, a little,
Absolutely. Use
this word, artsy? I mean, is there a family gene for this?
Yes.
I'd say so, yeah.
Definitely a creative gene, and you know, that's what I love about it, is each camp's different, and the creativity allows you just to, you know, I mean, it's a huge trust for these camp owners to hand us the key. They hand us the keys, and then they leave for 6 to 8 weeks, and they don't see the camp again until we hand them back the keys for the final reveal. So there's a huge trust, but it allows us to be a lot more creative.
And it's really cool, like, to see all the guys come up with a really cool idea, you know, because a lot of times they'll just rely on Chase to tell them to go do this or that. So it's neat when, like, Jedi or Dixie or whoever just, like, oh, we could do this, and then it turns into be this like really cool feature or whatever. So I like seeing that.
Which I don't think we could do if it wasn't on TV. You know, if we didn't have the film crew there, a lot of the stuff wouldn't happen, but it gives us that artistic freedom to try and, you know, be creative.
You'll see some really cool things in the upcoming episodes.
Great.
I'm so excited.
You're so excited. What was I going to say? We're going to hear from one of the cabin owners in just a minute. But I wanted to ask you all if you have sort of a philosophy. We talked a little bit about using salvage, trying to find, not buying all new right off of the big box store shelf. But just generally, even before you had the show, did you have a philosophy about how you come to renovation projects?
Well, I always ask myself, would I do this at my house? You know, is it something I would do? And I make darn sure it is. You know, like, is it something we do for us? You know, because you don't want to do something in someone else's house that you wouldn't do at your own.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll take some of your comments and questions. We'll also hear from one of the homeowners who put themselves through this TV show. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, why growing numbers of Americans are saying goodbye to monthly fees and overdraft charges and abandoning traditional banks. Lisa Servan got jobs as a teller in a check cashing agency and a payday lending store to understand why so many working people turn to banking alternatives. Her new book is The Unbanking of America. Join us.
And join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. Maine Public is hiring. We're currently seeking an energetic individual with an appreciation and passion for public radio and television in Maine to join our underwriting team. The successful candidate will help ensure a successful future for public broadcasting by connecting and working with businesses and organizations who want to reach our audience. If you believe in this service, value it, and use it yourself, have experience in sales, marketing, or development, we'd like to hear from you. More information is available at mainpublic.org. Click on About and then Careers. Thanks for your interest.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Maine Cabin Masters, a new TV series about fixing up camps in Maine. With me in the studio, Ashley Eldridge. She is the designer on the show. Ryan Eldridge is Ashley's husband and a builder on the show. And Chase Morrill is a Maine builder and the team's leader, and he's Ashley's brother. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And joining us on the line now is Randy McDonald. She and her husband own Cumberland Title Services in Portland. They also own a camp in Oxford that was renovated by the Maine Cabin Masters team. Randy, thanks so much for calling in. How did your camp get chosen? How did you hear about this?
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi, Randy.
Good morning.
Randy.
We actually purchased the camp early August of 2016, and I just happened to be on Facebook and scrolled down, and there was this Facebook post which said, "Are you interested in having your camp renovated? Contact the Maine Cabin Masters." And the camp that we purchased had been built in the 30s or 40s and really needed some TLC. It had been sitting and neglected for a while. And after applying and the scout came and looked at the spot, we were a go. It kind of happened so fast it made our heads spin. You know, we're handing the keys over to this group of full of shenanigans and wondering what the heck we did. But, oh, my God, the results are so astounding. And we still talk about it at the dinner table, and we can't. Our reveal was in late November, and so we had to close it up shortly after that, and we just can't wait to start our time at camp.
Do you know when your episode will air?
I think early March, March 13th, I want to say.
Okay, so you hand them your keys, and then you leave, and you trust them entirely.
We left with our hearts in our throats. We were kind of like, wow, we bought this camp and we're handing it over. And, you know, we basically gave them our, you know, top five of what we'd like to see done. And I mean, literally when we handed the keys over, the producer was, you know, behind the camera, and she says, "All right, turn around and don't look back. Keep walking, keep walking."
Oh, my goodness.
It was Heather.
yeah, and 6 weeks later, it was that reality show where people, or at least I, you know, and my husband, we walked and up to the cabin and were just totally wowed.
So, Randy, did you see the episode last night?
Unfortunately not. It's past my bedtime. But
it's past our bedtime, too.
Okay, well, it's online. If anybody wants to watch it, we'll put a link there. But I just wanted to, before I say goodbye to you, Randy, ask what you hope that people who watch the show take away, what they think about Maine, what they think about the whole, you know, camp culture in Maine and this team that renovated your camp.
I think what they should take away is that, you know, this crew that comes in, Ashley, Chase, Ryan, They're not there to Martha Stewart your house. They want you to have some creature comforts and maybe, you know, do a few updates. But you know what? A camp is still a camp. It's still going to be a little rough, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to walk around with, you know, you might walk in the camp with sandy feet, but you know what? Who cares? It's your camp, and it's your place away from the rest of the world. And Maine Cabin Masters is there to make it just a little bit better.
That is so nice of you.
Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
Bye.
Randy.
Bye. It was too quick.
Oh, Randy, you know what? Before you go, I need to ask you, is the reveal really a surprise? Are you really seeing it for the first time?
Absolutely.
She kept on trying to get me to send her hints. She'd text me, "Can you give me a little hint? Can you give me a little something?"
And you're evil and you didn't, right?
I didn't.
Sure. She was very good. I mean, we'd sit around the dinner table, you know, and I have two girls, 10 and 12, and my husband, and we, you know, would be quiet, and all of a sudden someone would say, "I wonder what they're doing at the camp." And then we'd all just, "Oh, camp." So, yes, it was a complete and total reveal. We were, like, blindfolded until the actual point where we stood in front of the camp and saw it for the first time in 6 weeks.
Well, Randy, thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story. And we're all waiting for invitations up to your camp. have a great,
Bye,
new
Randy.
Year.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Thanks. What was he going to say? Oh, looks like we have a caller who knows your camp, so I'm going to go to him. Tim in Lovell, you know Randy's camp.
I know Randy's camp because that was my parents' camp before.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Nice. Cool.
I actually had the opportunity. Randy invited me in to see it after the work was done. I was in there in late November, I guess. And what an awesome job. You didn't have a lot to work with, but it was very creative and just a wonderful place. That was just so cool. I mean, that's a place that we loved, and it was just really nice to see it refurbished and really have somebody really being able to appreciate it.
They had some Excellent. Serious treasures in there.
Yeah.
No, for real.
A couple things she found. Yeah, that was it was pretty cool. There was something Randy found, and she was going to hang it up on the wall. It was a fishing chart that my mom and dad
had
in the early 80s.
That's right. Yeah, oh, wow. I think she showed it to us.
Do you all find that a lot, that when you go into work on a camp, you know, there's so much family history tied in that this is, you know, takes on bigger meaning than a sort of a simple home renovation project?
For sure. Like, the first pilot we did was for the Daggett family, and it was Senator Daggett. She had recently passed away. The camp had been in their family for many generations. You know, so we were stepping in and trying to honor her memory mm-hmm. and just, you know, fix up the camp in the way that the family would appreciate it and enjoy it. And I think we kind of take that into consideration in every camp we do. Yeah.
The camp on Green Lake, the father had started it, and, you know, it hadn't been finished, so we kind of tried to continue his legacy. Yeah. You know, in the way that he would, you know, and
And even, you know, even if it's a recently purchased camp, we know that families are going to be making memories there for years to come. So we want to try and just make it possible for families to have that experience, to make it comfortable for them. And that's part of what I love doing about it. Is just there's so many camps in Maine, and they all have history. Different areas in Maine have different histories.
Problem for me is that we have to give them back. I fall in love with each and every one of them, and so then I'm like, oh god.
Tim, thanks for calling and sharing that. We're going to move on. We're going to go to Yarmouth and Pam. Hi, Pam. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Well, I have to say I was excited last night when I came upon that show, because I thought for a long time Maine had been left out of all those DIY nice. Programs.
Cool.
So I thought, gosh, wow, Maine Cabin Masters, that has to be pretty good. We have a lot of fabulous builders in the state of Maine. And I have to say that I was so disappointed. It seemed so slapdash, fix it, go swimming, go, you know, whatever, that I was really disappointed. And I honestly had to stop watching it.
So, Pam, it was the way the program was produced that you were disappointed with?
I guess so. I mean, it just seemed, you know, let's throw this board up and let's, you know, do this and that and the other thing and, oh, let's use blooper paints. And it didn't seem just depicative of the kind of building and the quality of workmanship that I've seen.
And the other shows.
I stopped watching it at that point. I said, oh, my God, this doesn't represent the name that I know. So.
Well, there's different, you know, types of camps and stuff. We're on the lower end of budgets and people that are more doing it for use than, you know, formality, you know, people that want to just don't have a lot of money but want to use their camp and give it back some life. So, I mean, I understand what she's saying. I'm definitely not the best craftsman in the state.
Oh, absolutely.
Any chance, but I bet you we have as much fun as anybody does.
And, I mean, that camp, when we went to it, literally had holes in the roof, the logs, you could reach in, grab fistfuls of the rotting logs. And what they didn't show is that, you know, we tore it down, but you know, it's an hour program. They want to make it as exciting as possible.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they're there for short periods. We're there working, you know, 6 to 8 weeks to get these places done. And, you know, I understand they've got to have something. It's got to have an entertainment value. And, you know, unfortunately, some of the building probably did get lost. But we're all competent, experienced builders, and we try our best.
I mean, this is also just as much about featuring Maine as people and the different craftsmen and who we are and what our state brings. And, you know, not every camp is a couple $100,000 masterpiece on Sebago Lake. You know, there's a lot of $7,000 hunting camps I've been up in Phillips and Madrid, Maine, that were pretty fun too, you know. Like, so, you know, it's not going to
– I always thought it was Madrid.
Madrid. What? You know, it's just – it's going to affect different people different ways because everyone has a different idea of what a camp in Maine is, you know?
Pam, thanks for calling and sharing your impressions. We're going to go to Josh, who's calling from Gardner. Yeah. Hi, Josh.
Gardner.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Gardner. I just wanted to compliment on the great show. Love
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, yeah, Josh.
My wife and I, we fight over what, well, you know, we're going to record usually. I have not seen it yet. And so tonight, that's what we're doing. Great show. It's so awesome to see somebody, you know, local from Maine. Just, you know.
Wes Gardner.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Cool. Thank you, Josh. Thanks.
I just had one question. Is there any location that is too remote for you guys to do? Or is it anywhere in the state of Maine you'll go?
Anywhere in the state of Maine we'll go. We actually went up to the Allagash, up to 9 Mile.
Yeah.
You know, really? four hours on dirt roads.
I'm jealous. I really am. I see you get a little bit of last year, and I was so like, oh, I want that
job. Yeah, do you have people applying for jobs with your
exactly.
team?
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, I have another job. And anyway, any future around the Forks, Jackman area of anything, or is that be giving away too much? Or
well, no.
We hope so.
We'd love to do the Forks. We spend a lot of time up there in the summer rafting and hiking.
No,
yeah.
Do you have your schedule for next year yet, or is that in?
This all depends on ratings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you have to find out if the show does well enough in ratings, and then if it does, then you quick have to scramble and figure out who to film for next season.
Yeah.
Well, there's no shortage in the Forks area, that's for sure, fixer-uppers, and I think most people will understand what you guys are trying to do. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Josh. We appreciate that.
Thanks. We have another compliment. This is from Pam. She sends an email. My husband and I had Chase and his crew build our house in Wayne. They were hardworking, upbeat, positive guys. The support they show each other while working is very real. No pretense from these guys. We love our house. And that's great to hear, Pam. We're going to move to Kai, who's calling from Phippsburg. Hi, Kai. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Listen, it's a great program. I want to ask, have you all ever heard of the Spring Lake camps? They were originally founded by J.P. Morgan. It's about 20 cabins. They are north of Flagstaff Lake, and they have a very unique building style in that they are log cabins, but most of the cabins, the logs are vertical rather than horizontal. It is a very, very quick building style. I'm sorry.
No, I think I've been there before with my father. He used to go up there a lot, and he took me up there one time, and we, you know, gave me a quick tour. And they are there. I remember they were smaller cedar logs vertically. Correct?
Yeah. But here's the deal: the Libby brothers, they have Libby Brothers Camp and Sporting.
Yeah,
guides. That's my friend.
And the two younger Libby brothers, they went up to Labrador just with a canoe and a chainsaw, and they built a whole cabin up there like that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a unique building style, and it goes very quick in that you don't need two people to build it. Everything can be handled by one person.
We'll have to go check
it out. Sounds like Maine ingenuity at its finest right there.
Kai, thanks a lot for your call. We talked a little bit about, you were talking, Ryan, about the, you know, this is lower end camps. Is the whole TV show about this sort of lower end, or will you do anything?
I mean, we'll do anything. We had a really nice.
And I wouldn't even say lower end. I don't think you. I think you kind of misspoke on
smaller
that.
Smaller budgets.
And I probably was not using the right terms there. But you're not talking about someone with an unlimited budget coming in and saying, do whatever you want.
And we have a very limited window to get these camps done. You know, when the film crew arrives, we have 6 to 8 weeks. When they come back, these camps have to be completed. So we can't take on projects that are entire, you know, renovations.
By lower end, I meant camps with a lot of character.
and you say that this season you've learned a lot. You've learned a lot about what works for television, what works for your team working together.
Well, for me, the coolest part is seeing the way the production puts the show together. You know, we're there and being filmed and whatever, but then when we see, you know, the drone shot or, you know,
just certain things. I think that's the coolest part.
And they do a good job. I noticed that
so
too. The first thing I said to these guys who walked in the studio, how do they get those shots? Do they use drones? And you say, yes, they do.
Yeah.
Lots of really fun angles on the work that you're doing. So we do have to take one more break. When we come back, we'll talk with the team from Maine Cabin Masters some more. Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the Central Maine Heart and Vascular Institute, offering minimally invasive heart and vascular surgery, cmhvi.org.
In 2008, the new president-elect told a crowd in Chicago that there would be setbacks ahead.
But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there.
8 years later, the president returns to Chicago for his farewell speech. I'm Audie Cornish. Join us for live special coverage tonight on NPR News and watch a live fact check at npr.org.
And that program gets underway this evening, starting at 9 o'clock. And join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for the Commonwealth Club of California. We'll hear a panel discussion on how California moves forward after a nasty election to make progress on energy, water, transportation, and other climate-related concerns. That's the Commonwealth Club of California, coming up after Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Maine Cabin Masters, the new DIY network series featuring cabin renovations in Maine. With me today, the stars of the show, Chase Morrill, who is a Maine builder who leads the show's renovation team. Ryan Eldridge is Chase's brother-in-law and partner on the show, and Ashley Eldridge is Chase's sister, Ryan's wife, and the designer on the show. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Before we get to the calls, though, I want to ask you all, do you feel some sort of responsibility to being representing Maine to the rest of the country, whether it's the land, you know, the beautiful locations you're showing, the kind of work you're doing, the kind of people you are and how you talk to one another? You're nodding, Ashley. You do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We want Maine's a special place. And, you know, the production crew, they come here and they're like, you guys in Maine are just totally a different breed. They're like, everybody's so nice. Everybody's so friendly. And they all ended up bringing their families here to vacation here. And
from Colorado.
Yeah, from Colorado.
L.A.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And then, like, just in terms of, I don't know, what would you say?
I'd say no.
Oh, my God.
Only because, I mean, no, in the sense, we just try and be who we are, trying to be as real as possible, have fun doing what we're doing, you know, be grateful that we're working with our family and friends. And if that comes across great and people see that and say, you know, this is good, this is Maine, then excellent. But I don't feel any pressure.
Oh, I don't feel pressure.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Glad we got that taken care of.
I think one good thing that we've seen a lot in each episode, though, is we are showcasing other artists and people with talent from Maine and other areas too, which is good. So it is promoting Maine as a very talented place, and you know, we're showing a lot of different aspects of it.
We're going to go to Ed, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Ed. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Yeah, I just want I wanted to call and say
Hi, Ed.
What a wonderful show. Hey guys.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, so the issue that Pam brought up from Yarmouth, I think, is really actually a case for why they're very good craftsmen. Is it's truly a craftsman who can figure out wonderful things that touch a family in terms of something's precious like their cabin, and do it with so little around. So I think she made a good case, but she had the wrong conclusion there. And I saw your mom today, Ryan, and she is so proud of you. See you guys.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah.
Thanks, Ed.
I was going to ask you if you know Ed, but I guess that's the answer to my question there. Okay, we're going to move on to Jay, who's calling from Scarborough. Hi, Jay. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you?
Great.
Good. I love the discussion, and congratulations to all your guests there on a great, great thing.
Thank you.
I'm calling just to, I have a young family, and my partner, she had a family camp in New Hampshire for 40 years, and she had to give that up a few years ago. So my question is about finding places for, you know, and on a reasonable budget. And is the show at all, is there any possibility of integrating, you know, people looking, and then people who have existing and things of that nature, trying to sort of marry people to proper places, because
I think absolutely. I think they're open.
Camps are healing places, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. I think that's yes. really at the core of it. That's sort of why we have them and what they're about. And, we're definitely in a place where we could absolutely benefit from something like that. So I just sort of lay that out there and leave it to you.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I do too.
Thanks, Jay. Let me ask you guys a question. If somebody isn't lucky enough to be on your program, but maybe lucky enough to have a family camp and is worried about it, you know, seeing maybe a little bit of punkiness in some of the logs.
A lot of punkiness.
What kind of advice do you have for folks to try to keep up a family camp on a budget?
Keep the roof from leaking.
Work parties. That's a moral original. Work parties. Invite everyone. Feed them. Keep them hot. Keep them fed.
Yeah.
It works. We have a large family, and they're all really helpful.
But do something every year, you know, just little things. And
yeah.
One of the biggest things that goes back to rot is just think about how water flows. Leaves get stuck under camps and pine needles get jammed and stuff. Just let the water flow away, you know. Don't let dirt and sand get built up, you know. Just pretty much water flow is a big thing when it comes to camps.
Keep the roof from leaking. Keep it up out of the mud. And, I mean, these camps have been around since the 1900s and they're still standing. So if they're, you know, maintained, mm-hmm. then they should be okay.
Great. We'll go to Bethel and Alex. Hi, Alex. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. This is Alex from Bethel, and just wanted to call and make a little comment. You guys know Kathy, right, my wife?
Hi, Alex.
How's it going?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I just wanted to comment. You guys underplayed your creativity, and I just wanted to offer a little short story about Chase things that Kathy used to tell me with you guys growing up together. I remember she told me there was Pabst Blue Ribbon had a contest, an art contest, and it was to make an original piece of art. And Chase, of course, entered into it because why wouldn't he? And he won. He actually made the Thinker, you know, the famous statue of the Thinker carved out of PBR cans, and this is so typical of
the drinker. I called it the drinker.
Family so well that he took that money that he got from that contest and put it into a septic system at his house that he just bought. And I just wanted to say, you know, don't play down your creativity. I know you guys are as good as you say you are.
Alex, that's a fantastic story. How old were you when you entered the PBR sculpture contest?
Oh, I must have been. Maggie was a baby,
yeah,
so
we were in the potluck shop.
10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago.
So it's 30.
Yep.
So are any of your clients receiving sculptures as part of the... Oh, we have not.
Yep, they are. They are.
Out of PBR cans?
Not out of PBR cans.
No.
Alex, I really like your call. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Alex.
We're going to move on to Portland and Anne. Hi, Anne. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hello, Jennifer. This is a great show. Okay, over the past 30 years, my professional field has been in the world of geriatrics. And living in Maine and coming to Maine with my children when they were very young, what I find in my work is that a lot of elders who began those camps and now have children and grandchildren are very often unable to access the camp. Uh-huh. So my question for the master builders is, are you interested in modifying for elders? In other words, if you're working on a camp project and the family has an elder, grandparent or parent, who would still love to go to the camp, whether it's on an island or in the woods or wherever, how would you go about modifying the camp in such a way that mom or pop or grandpa could still come?
Well, Anne, we actually dealt with that situation before. We did a camp in Richmond where, you know, the family really valued the time that they spent with the entire family and the grandmother, and the homeowners talked about how much time, you know, the whole family sat there. But as time wore on, the steps coming into and the entrance to the camp, you know, the grandmother couldn't physically do it. And over time, she just stopped coming. And that was one of their biggest concerns, you know, and that was top priority on their to-do list. So we modified the entrance and
now she's able to go and
made
enjoy
it accessible, and now Graham's enjoying it the way she used to be. So no, that's a great idea and something that we look forward to doing in the future.
Uh-huh. And is that a project you did for the show or before the show?
That's going to
be one of the episodes.
Yeah.
Great.
Richmond.
In Richmond, Maine. Great. Yeah. Anne, thanks for your call. I'm going to go to Pierrette, who's calling from Rome on Long Pond. Hi, Pierrette. Go ahead.
Hello, Jennifer, and hello, Maine Cabin Master.
Hi.
So hello.
I'm a neighbor to the house on the rocks.
On the rocks.
I live down in Wildwood.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful down there.
I have a little funny story to relay, Jennifer.
Oh, please do.
I was watching this process from a distance, knew it was a DIY show, and I think that house was one of your first, if I'm not mistaken.
It was.
And so on a Sunday, there was no one around, and I thought, I'm going to go inspect what these guys are doing. So I walked over there, and you had put some of the new windows in, some you still had the plastic in, and so I satisfied myself with what you were doing, and I turned around, walked off the deck, looked at the tree and saw you had a camera there. And said, oh, man, I'm busted. And I bet you Chase at the top of the hill by the mailboxes, and we both kind of casually waved to each other reluctantly. And I said, oh, I think he waved, so I think I'm okay.
So the moral of the story is if you see one of the Maine Cabin Master projects and you go look in the windows, you might get busted.
Yeah.
Correct.
Luckily, yeah. That...
And I could speak for the owners. I met them this summer, and they were just delighted with the work that you did.
Oh, so awesome.
Excellent. It was really fun
to watch you, and I can't wait to see the episode. So.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Great, we appreciate you
calling.
And I'm also a friend of, you may know someone, I think you know someone by the name of Miranda. She's a stylist in Portland.
Oh, Miranda.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Because I was telling her the story about getting busted, and she said, I know them.
Well, this is Maine. What do they say? It's not a state. It's one big neighborhood.
Yep.
Pierrette, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pierrette.
For your call. I asked you guys a little bit ago about maintaining a camp, and you say try to do a little something every year, keep the roof, keep it from leaking, try to clean out pine needles and things like that. But I want to ask if somebody does have a camp that needs some work, what's the most bang for the buck? What's the sort of the best thing to do first? Is it a paint job, weatherization? What do you recommend? Especially if it's an old camp, maybe built with old materials.
Getting the weather tight, I think, yeah.
Which painting does.
Painting.
A roof.
Yeah, and a roof.
Yes, and a roof. But, you seal up the wood, it's going to create an impermeable membrane. So...
You guys keep saying roofs. It makes me think that maybe you've had some bad experiences.
Hasn't everybody?
We just spend more time than we like doing roofs, unfortunately.
And hopefully nobody's ever fallen off, right?
No.
No. Good.
Yeah, right?
Okay. I have a question here for my producer, and I like this. What are your own houses like?
We currently don't have one.
We're homeless cabin masters.
We sold our house. And
that's
then
not true. You have Sugarloaf.
We rent a place in Sugarloaf.
Right.
We're building a house in West Garden that's just got started.
Great. But I'm wondering, is it like the cobbler whose kids don't have shoes? Are you all, or do you have very creative, rustic,
Chase has
artsy
a very creative
homes?
House.
Yeah,
Chase
I have an old really 1850s cool farmhouse that we bought, my wife and I bought. And totally went through and renovated. And, yeah, I mean, sure, there are some unfinished parts, but it's always a work in progress.
He's got four young kids.
Do you all have a dream project for the show?
I do.
What's that?
A shop across the street from myself.
Is there something you've driven by a few times or 100 times and thought, boy, I'd love to have my hands on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think now we just start seeing camps being like,
all
that
the time.
Would be a great candidate. Oh,
We just got back from a family trip to Guadalupe for Christmas. And there's so many old, cool, rundown places down there.
So you think that Maine Cabin Masters needs to have a road trip to Mexico? Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
We're going to Mexico in 2 days.
Somewhere warm for the winter months.
Spoken in the middle of January.
Yeah. What was it, negative 18 this morning when I got up in Sugarloaf.
Have you all heard from people in other parts of the country? Have they said, I can't believe fill in the blank about you people up in Maine?
I haven't really yet, and I think that's what we're all kind of most curious about is how well this
will be received,
translates to other parts of the country. I mean, I know there's cabins and camps all over the country, but
yeah, you know, the neat thing is now that social media is so large, we can have a reach through our friends and college roommates and family that we know there was viewing parties in Hawaii last night. There was some in Florida. We have friends in Colorado. But after our friends and our reach, how much does it spiderweb out of there? So it'll be interesting to see. And do they think we're as funny as we all think we're as funny? You know, not just friends and family. That's the big question. Do other people that we don't know think we're funny?
You're pretty funny.
So. Well, the beautiful thing about a film crew filming you for several weeks and cutting it down to an hour, they can leave all the unfunny on the cutting room floor. Well, we're almost out of time, but before we leave, I just want to ask you, what is it that makes a Maine camp, a Maine cabin special?
The family and the history.
Family.
Yeah.
Truly.
It goes back to like what both Pam said, first Pam. I mean, it can be a tiny little place in the woods, but if a family uses it and cherishes it and loves it,
makes
it has
memories.
Just as much value as the place in Kittery on the beach, you know, to them.
Well, you guys are terrific, and so thank you so much for being here, and good luck to you. It's always so exciting to have someone from Maine, you know, a family from Maine represented in the national spotlight. This Friday, we're going to talk with Lisa Wolfinger, who's the producer behind Mercy Street on PBS. Great time. Finally, some Maine production folks and some creative Maine business people, small business people are featured on national television. Chase Morrill is a Maine builder who leads the renovation team on Maine Cabin Masters. Ashley Eldridge, the show's designer, and Chase's sister and her husband, Ryan Eldridge. He's also a builder and Chase's partner on the series. I have to say one thing I really like, Chase, is that you're wearing a Vassalboro basketball sweatshirt in the first scene. John Keimel ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our audio archives at mainecalling.net. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, join me and a panel of experts to talk about how to pay for college, get tips on saving, applying for financial aid, paying off loans, and more. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.